What's going on, friends? Welcome to the new podcast, The Happy Grind Movement. My name is Jackson Desjardins.
And I'm Tracy Desjardins.
And together, we're a mother-son duo dedicated to helping you find solutions to unwanted habits that are holding you back from becoming your super self.
Jackson and I know what it feels like to be overweight, frustrated, and stuck. But we also know how to get lean, get confident, and rock your best life. Together, we're going to get real and give you the tools you need to live fully aligned with who you want to be at any age.
As former personal trainers, we believe that while fitness is one part of being a healthy badass, it's not the only part of true wellness in this life. Building your super self is a grind. Together, we're going to help you grind happy. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Happy Grind Movement. Hope everybody is having a fantastic day. Mama, how are we doing this morning?
We are doing great. I'm so pumped to talk about what we're about to talk about.
So if you guys have been following me for long enough, you know I love talking about weight loss because it changed my life radically. I help people change their lives radically through losing weight with my online coaching or my online products. And it's something that I'm very passionate about, of course. My mother and I both have weight loss stories and they're very powerful, but I think with weight loss, there's a word attached to it, and it's diet. It's dieting, right? And Mom, I want you to tell us what is your acronym for dieting?
Oh, we're going to start
for diet.
Yeah. Okay. So
we're not very fond of diets around here, just because we've tried it all, and the only way we actually stopped doing all of our negative behavior and lost the weight was when we stopped dieting. So Mom, acronym for diet.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm glad you said that right at the start of this, this episode. Okay. So these are my words. Okay. I made this up. So the word diet stands for deprivation insanity equals trouble.
Bingo.
Anybody relate to that? I mean, that's so true.
Well, it's what you attach so much meaning to all the food you eat when you don't have to, right? It's like when that's all you think about because you're dieting and you're only allowed to have this and you got to set this limit and you got to do that and do that.
So you just said two words, allowed and limit. Set limits. Okay. So if you think anybody out there that's tried any sort of dieting program now, to just clear up some confusion, if you're thinking, well, I've never gone on a diet. Okay. Well, if you've done some sort of self-restricted program where you tried to avoid this and that, and you weren't happy and you felt held back and then you binged. Okay. That's a diet, you know, any type of restrictive program. I was the queen of making it my own. I mean, I've done I've tried a bunch of different diets, but I was really the queen of my own self-imposed, self-created, hell as it came to limiting foods. And I really created an inner storm. But when we think diets, we think fight and restrict.
Yeah. And I just want to interject right here. And then I want to let you continue. For the gentleman out there who you're like, I stick to my diet and I'm strong and I'm suffering and it makes me strong. I'm the man. I eat chicken, broccoli, and rice and I do it because I'm strong. You are suffering for no damn reason. And you look stupid. You look stupid because you know what? You have been lied to. You have been lied to on you know, all these different platforms talking about celebrity diets. They're lying to you. They're telling you all this stuff that they eat that they actually didn't. All these diet plans and workout plans sold. It blows my mind. I have no idea what you like to eat, nor your requirements. So how can I possibly tell you what to eat or your workout program? We all have different lives. It blows my mind. So I just want you, my point, long-winded way of saying there is, just because you're like, I'm the man, I'm suffering. Don't just chase pointless suffering, especially with food, because you're going to end up binging. And I got news for you guys. If you binge and then feel shame afterwards, you are dieting. You're dieting.
Well, I spent over 35 years of my life doing exactly what you just said. And honestly, if somebody would have told me that someday I'd be sitting in front of a big ass microphone with these big ass headphones talking about the shame of my war with dieting, I would have thought you were crazy because I was really stuck and embarrassed by this. So I'm just going to kind of dive back into, I was like a chubby little girl. I didn't have any major weight issues, but I was that chubby girl that had to wear the stretchy pants and that kind of thing. And I didn't really care until, you know, kind of like puberty started to hit. And then all of a sudden I cared and I believed that I had to fix myself. So that's where it really all started for me, like the dieting. I believed that I had to fix my body to fit in. And the way that you did that was you dieted, you restricted, can't have any fun food. You have to eat canned tuna, green beans, saltine crackers, drink skim milk, all those things.
Whatever the television told you.
Whatever the Charlie's Angels diet was, or, you know, whatever was popular at the time. It was one of those, even if it wasn't like something specific, I just knew that I couldn't eat what I really loved because I had to use willpower to avoid food that tasted good and eat food that I had to choke down in order to lose weight. And so the marketing of that was just everywhere. And so what happened is I started to build on this inner rebel in my head. So I would, you know, common sense, you could go a little while. I would go, I don't know, like a week or so. And then it always ended bad. And I would binge on the Little Debbie snack cakes. I would binge on the Hostess cupcakes, anything. And it was always in private. And I was pretty good at hiding the wrappers. And then I started to develop a cycle of shame. And, you know, physically I felt terrible, but what I didn't realize was going on was my relationship with myself. I was paying the price, the precious price of my self-respect and my self-trust with every diet that I tried and failed. And I lost count of how many attempts I had.
Well, what happens when you try so many diets and fail over and over and over and over, eventually you just start to believe things about yourself. And that's where it gets dangerous. That's why dieting is so horrible, right? Because once you fail enough times, you're like, man, I'm just not strong enough. I suck, right? And gentlemen, you'd never admit that because you're just too strong, right? But let's be honest here. Let's just be authentic. Let's just be vulnerable here. That's how it goes when you try to diet. When you see food as, I eat this, I'm good. I eat that, I'm bad.
Exactly. So that's a mindset.
It's totally a mindset.
It's a toxic mindset. It's a toxic nutritional belief. So part of like, okay, how to lose weight without dieting, part of that starts with shifting your mindset and having just a different perspective on, okay, I really want and need to lose weight. And if dieting is not the way, because it's going to cause me to feel deprived and to become rebellious, which always ends bad, what the heck do I do then? Well, first of all, in my opinion, when we decide to block out the noise of the media and what you see on TV, the Nutrisystem, the Jenny Craig, the paleo, the keto, the intermittents, all that stuff, you hear about all these programs, and just kind of quiet the noise and kind of think about, well, maybe if I start eliminating the ultra processed food and making some replacements and starting to eat some whole natural foods and see how I feel, maybe that could start shifting my perspectives. Because ultimately we want to feel better and we want to see if we can just sort of slow down and take steps in the right direction to get us where we want to go.
I'm going to say this. What I found when I was, I guess, like 13, when the fitness scene was really popping off for kids my age, and all the influencers came out, and Gymshark, and all this stuff. I remember finding IIFYM, if it fits your macros, right? And while I think it was helpful in some ways, I think it was arguably kind of still a diet. I know, like, the whole point of if it fits your macros is like, if it, you know, eat whatever you want. If it's in your macros, you're good, right? Aesthetically, that might be true, but health wise, it's definitely detrimental. I don't think anybody should eat a bunch of Oreos, and just as long as you're getting enough protein, right? But I think for me, it gave me an idea of understanding how many calories and how many servings and stuff I'm having at once. And I think that was good. But I think any form of a diet, it's saying, I don't care what you call it, I don't care what you're telling yourself, any form of a diet is telling you not to do something, right? And as soon as you make something off limits, as soon as you tell yourself, I cannot do certain things, and guys, IIFYM, well, I can eat whatever I want. Yeah. Until a certain calorie limit, right? Until a certain macro limit, right? So no, you can't eat anything you want, because after you hit that, what then? Right? So it's this concept of shifting that into more of an intuitive style. So after you start to understand, in my experience, at least, how I kind of went away from dieting, at least, it was just very simple.
Jump into what you just said about intuitive?
Yeah.
I love this. This is really the segue into the next thing I wanted to talk about. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because what happens is the more dieting try and fail attempts that you have, the more that something ends up being drained in our relationship with ourselves, and that is our self-trust as it relates to food. So dieting robs us of any intuitive self-trust that we have with our own appetite, our own wisdom. And when we choose a diet or a program or follow the macros or whatever the hell that is, we are basically saying no to our inner intuitive wisdom. No, it's what we have inside of us, but our calling, that's not right. I have to trade that in. That's wrong. And I'm going to trust in the particular rules and the structure of this diet program. And repeated attempts like that create a new framework within where you just don't know how to eat. You're scared of food. Food is the enemy. And it's a really, really bottomless pit to land in when you don't know how to eat.
I think what's fascinating is, take me for example. I did know how to eat. I knew how to eat a lot, but I wasn't a massively overeater. Like I stopped swimming when I was like 14, and then I was eating relatively normal, right? And then where I started putting on weight is when, listen to this. When I started putting on weight, it was because I set an expectation and an allowance, right? I set an allowance of calories. I set an allowance of things that I could have and things I couldn't have, right? As soon as I had to give myself an allowance, that's when everything became, oh my God, when can I have pizza? When can I have wings? When can I have these things?
It's hyper-regulated.
I want to explain something, right? I think that, you know, there is an overarching theme that's always true across weight loss. You got to eat less than you burn. I don't care how you do it, but every diet's doing the same thing. It's getting you to eat less than you burn, either consciously or unconsciously, right? And where I have shifted into a slightly more intuitive style eating, I want to give you an example here. I said this in a recent YouTube video, and I want to tell you this short little teeny story. I had a client who is a very successful entrepreneur, and he was telling me a story when I was telling him about stopping setting a limit for himself, stop thinking about food all the time. He told me a story, and it resonated with me a lot and to dieting in general. He said he worked for this corporation at one point, and they let every employee, they set their number. You can have 24 vacation days. You can have 24, right? And then up to that point, everybody would take 24 vacation days. Like every year, everybody would take 24. Just don't, that's my allowance. I'm taking 24, right? And then they dropped the policy the next year. And he said that on average, each employee only took 14. So why is that? If you don't set an allowance for yourself, it's wild how your behavior truly goes toward what you want. Instead of saying, I have to, it's saying, I want to. What I just said is effing massive, right? It's not setting an allowance of, oh, I'm only allowed to do this. Or, well, since I'm allowed to do that, then I got to meet that. So even though I'm not hungry, I got to finish my macros. I got to do this. And it doesn't have anything to do with listening to your body at all and understanding nutrition. It's just like, oh, well, it's these macros, right? And I think intuitive eating is just a way to get your mind off of food. And I think that's kind of where you're going, Mom. So I think in a way, you're kind of saying, choose a no diet diet.
Choose a no diet diet. What I mean by that, I love that. I love how you just kind of like landed on that spot right there. Because when we choose a no diet diet, that means, how do I freaking take the best care of myself, period? If you just cut the chatter, cut the nonsense, and cut the noise, common sense, how do I take the best care of myself with what I chew and swallow as it relates to food, as it relates to sleep, drinking water, getting our movement? Those things are all going to contribute to your greater physical good, physical and mental, actually. And then notice, when we think in terms of self-care, that is having an elevation mindset. How can I take the best care of myself? When we do that consistently, one day at a time, with whole, natural, unprocessed foods predominantly, what happens is we end up slowly arriving at the best version of ourselves. And we are not, and by the way, weight loss is a side benefit for taking the best care of ourselves as it relates to our nutritional choices. Okay. That is in comparison to a deprivation mindset, which is fight. There's no self-love in dieting and depriving. When we think in terms of like a no diet diet, I'm going to eat what nourishes me from the inside out. That's taking best care of ourselves. And it's not like we're saying, I can never have ice cream again. We might make those as planned treats. I mean, believe me, if I want donuts, if I want ice cream, I'm going to plan those out I don't eat them very often at all because I don't like what they do to my stomach, but I don't tell myself I can never have them. You know, I'm so deprived. I've changed my mindset in terms of how can I elevate my best self care? And guess what? When I started doing that, I had 12 pounds I didn't realize was ready to melt off my body. They came off in like a year, but when I took the focus off the scale, I do not get on the scale. When I took my focus off the scale, any unwanted pounds of body fat, they left. They left my body when I didn't fight.
And I think the same concept goes for tracking food. Sometimes I find that when I'm not tracking food, I actually undereat, which is like wild. I'm like, oh wow, I'm in a calorie deficit because I'm not thinking about it, right? And yeah, I think it's what my biggest piece of advice here, guys, and I say this from struggling with my relationship with food for a long time. Stop attaching so much damn meaning to it. The less you think about food, the better. The more you are constantly thinking about it, the reason why tracking works for some people but did not work for me as well is because all day, all I was thinking about was food.
I personally can't stand tracking. It's funny how like you say tracking. No. I hear that word and I'm going to scratch my eyes out.
I don't know if you heard what I just said. I'm saying I did it for a while and it may work for some people, mm-hmm. but it's not really working as much for me now.
Yeah.
And that is because when I am not thinking about food, I go back to when there wasn't even a problem when I was 14.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just not thinking about it. And it's wild. It's wild. But, I do want to address this. You gentlemen and ladies who are like, well, I want to make progress. I don't want this bullshit of not knowing if I'm making progress. I want to make progress. Hello. Like I got goals. I get that. And I want you to know that I lost all of my weight without counting one calorie. And that's true.
It's very liberating.
I drastically undershot my calories in my eyes. And for somebody that's not tracking, that means you're usually just under, right? Because you're always usually eating like 400 or 500 calories more than you think you are. And for me, I remember that summer, I chose to not, oh man, I really have been trying to say this and I think I just got it. Micromanaging. I know like it feels good to try to be in control all the time of things, but this is nutrition and fitness is one thing that when you don't micromanage it and you don't know every little thing that's going in your body, and ignorance is bliss sometimes in fitness. And when I say ignorance, I don't mean, oh, well, I'm going to eat this whole pizza. Who knows how many calories are in this? No, but I'm saying, oh man, I want scrambled eggs this morning. Instead of saying, oh man, well, I got to add egg whites for the extra protein and I'm just going to use one yolk and I'm going to do this. It's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Screw you. I'm going to have scrambled effing eggs.
What you're doing is you're listening to the wisdom of your appetite in that moment. And that's very, very priceless and important. That's bringing in your self-trust. I feel like having scrambled eggs, period.
But at the same time, I'm saying that I still want to get closer to my goals. And that's where I'm listening to this in the eyes of our listeners, right? And it's like, well, I want to make progress. Huh? Like, I need to know how to do this. Like, oh, I'm just going to eat whatever I want. That hasn't been working for me. I get that. And you know what? Just switching to all whole foods isn't necessarily going to make you lose weight because you can overeat whole foods. It's a matter of building a new relationship and not obsessing over food all the time and making a conscious effort in the moment to say, okay, I this is what I want to eat. I have this goal. I'm going to go exercise. It's crazy how much the exercise happens when you're not obsessing over the food.
I'm going to argue something that you said.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is great because we can agree to disagree on this one. When you said, what exactly was it you said? You can overeat whole foods.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me just share my example here that when I shifted my focus to the wonderful array of whole, natural, unprocessed foods, I naturally was not overeating the majority of those. I never binged on apples. I never binged on roasted chicken. I never binged on salad. I typically don't overeat fruit, vegetables, lean protein. Can I overeat rice and whole wheat pasta? Yes. So I'm uber vigilant about my level of satiation.
So perhaps
when
you
I'm
are.
Eating those
perhaps
products.
You are. But perhaps what I was saying is that everybody is not you, right?
Right.
So what I'm saying is that many people, the majority of people, I would argue, can overeat whole foods. I know I can, right? Single ingredient foods. I love rice and a serving size blows my effing mind. Mm-hmm. It's so small. I can crush 4 servings of rice with chicken thighs and I'm And I can add a lot of, I can add avocado in that, and I'm going to eat 1200, 1500 calories easily. Right. That leaves me one meal in the day and I'm already that deep. Right. So I've found myself, well, you know, and eggs, very, very calorie dense, amazing for you, but they're very calorie dense. So it's just when you stop thinking about everything like that, it's wild how much you just make progress. But it is, in my opinion, at least, it is definitely possible. And I only say this because I've done it, to overeat, natural foods. And I think it's good to include them because they're more fibrous. They're going to keep you full longer.
Right, and ultimately it's healthier for you.
It's definitely healthier for you. And I think for the purposes of losing weight without dieting, it's important to just make a distinction of what's serving me, what's going to get me closer to my goals, and what's going to make
a better relationship
with food.
And what can I sustain? Yeah. So I'd like to also point out another really, really key and fun factor is, what are your non-scale victories? Well, you talked about making progress. Number one, the non-scale victories is huge.
And progress is relative.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. But I'd like to throw something out there, and this can apply to men and women. Okay. And I kind of invented this myself, my own words, called the hanger method. And what that means is you pick out that pair of jeans in your closet that you can zip and button, but they're really tight. You can barely breathe. You can get them on, but they're too tight for you to wear outside of the house. You're going to get those jeans. You're going to put them on a hanger, and you're going to hang those bad boys in the bathroom or any place where you're going to see them every single day. That's going to be a reminder of you to keep your promise to yourself and to do the best you can every day with mindful portions of clean, healthy foods, and to follow through on the healthy promises, exercise, drinking your water, getting your sleep every day, what have you, to take best care of yourself. And those jeans, try them on once a day, twice a day, once a week, something like that. For me, it was once a week when I started doing that. And when those jeans were able to zip up to the point where they were comfortable enough for me to leave the house in them, that was so, so powerful. Such a great victory that made me feel really, really good.
I'm one of my favorite things to do ever is tracking progress by clothing. I'm a huge clothing fan.
It's a hell of a lot more fun.
It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more exciting. And it's not just a number.
Let me give you an example. Here's why I very, very rarely get on the scale. I got on the scale last Saturday because I went in my closet and I got my shorts out for the summer. There's a certain pair of jean shorts that I have that are like my markers. I was a little nervous to put them on. I thought, okay, well, yeah, I'm just going to put these on. I put them on. They zipped up very comfortably. They buttoned, and I thought, wow, this is fantastic. I'm going to get on the scale, just see what I weigh. Are you ready for this? I was more than 5 pounds heavier than I thought the scale would tell me. So I had a moment in that bathroom, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just so crazy that if I wouldn't have put the jean shorts on and just got on the scale, I would have been triggered to feel kind of bad about myself.
Huge.
But my awesome jean shorts that make me feel amazing, they fit, but the scale is telling me something else. I mean, which one is more exciting? So I just kind of had like a laughable moment, and I was so grateful for the awareness of, I do not give my power to that piece of metal anymore. I just don't.
Well, the scale doesn't, I mean, if you really think about what the scale is, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. All you really want to do is look good and feel good.
And well, the height and weight charts cause that problem.
Of course, okay. Of course. And a scale is
like,
is
seen, I should weigh a certain number based on my height.
A scale is seen as, in majority of the times, it's just, oh, well, this is how you track progress, you know.
It's an antiquated parasite.
Yeah. Yes.
You think big I words. Feel strongly about that?
Well, big word. Yeah. I mean, it's just... it's a common way to track progress, but I think that a better way to track progress a lot of the time, specifically if you're not starting from extremely overweight, like I was, would be to measure yourself, mm-hmm. or base it around clothing for me and progress pictures. If I didn't have progress pictures, I took one. And now I will say this, for me, weighing myself, when I was huge, was very, very, very important to me, mm-hmm. because that was how I would track progress. It's much more important to somebody who's 300 pounds than it is to somebody who's 190, because that means pretty much nothing at my height, right? I've been 190 in skin and bones and very skinny, and I've been 190 at beef, right? I look like a completely different person, both 190 pounds, right? But I will say this, when I was fat and I was losing weight, that was such a victory. That was such a victory to me. I'd wake up and I was like, hell yeah. And then every pound that would go down, I would take a picture, right? And it never actually became unhealthy to me. So I think at a certain point, it's important to get away from it. I don't really give a shit what's on the scale now, just because I know that muscle weighs more than fat. I base it off of how my clothes fit and how I look in the mirror. And I think that's how it should be. And this, the main key takeaway, if I could give it to you guys, in my opinion, and then I want you to end with yours, Mom, is stop attaching so much meaning to everything. Stop putting so much mental energy into things that don't require it. Right? The less you think about food, the less you are going to overeat. The less you think about the scale, the less you are going to have, you know, harmful self-talk, right? The less you think about things that are restrictive to you, the more successful you are going to be in trying to lose weight without dieting.
And this is perfect. So I'm going to just, here's the cherry on top. Make it even more powerfully simple. Common sense. What action can you take today, just for today, that is going to help you take the very best care of yourself? Switching that mindset to self-care versus deprivation and fighting.
Absolutely. And I just think it's so much more simple than people realize. And we all try to complicate it because of everything that we've been fed in the media and all these things.
You know, it feels pretty good to be sitting here and talking about like our perspective, our journeys, and just throwing it out
there.
This
is just us too, guys.
It is just us. And we all have a very powerful journey with food and with, you know, the war on diets as it relates to weight loss. Not everybody has dieted before, but I think a lot of people out there hopefully have resonated with our perspectives that we've shared here. They hopefully will have some good takeaways on some things and maybe not for another, but developing your own perspective and your own journey, I call it a path of excellence with relationship with food, body, and self, if weight loss is your goal, is really the key.
And I think just focusing on progress, not perfection, is going to be the biggest name of the game for everybody listening who wants to lose weight without dieting. It's not about micromanaging. It's about focusing on today and not overthinking and not attaching so much meaning, like I said. Guys, we hope that you have learned something this episode. I hope that we've been polarizing, and I hope that you've actually found something. And maybe you disagree, maybe you agree. But regardless, if you love this episode, we love you, and we are going to leave you like we leave you every single episode. Let's keep getting better together.
And keep grinding happy.
We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out.